Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. This program is on the air live right now to discuss any personal issue or situation you may find yourself in and to answer your Bible questions. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. What's going on in your life right now? Let's talk it through and see if we can be of help. We're live on this Monday afternoon, so call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Write down the toll-free number, then don't wait. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob, and everyone listening, happy Monday to you.
Yes, indeed. We're talking about freedom this month since we've celebrated our independence as a nation last Thursday. And there's a lot that coincides or parallels with the Christian story. It is a story of freedom. We were in bondage to sin and death. Jesus Christ was the one who rescued us, who set us free. And we see that in the word redemption. But one of the things that he has set us free from is a fear of death. Mm-hmm. All of us were afraid to die because we knew that once we died, there was this judgment, this impending judgment. And yeah. We were so afraid of what that judgment might be. But here's what the writer of Hebrews had to say. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Yeah. Oh, you talk to people time and time and time again. And when they get close to that point of death, these fears just surface in very painful, painful ways. They're so afraid of dying. Why? Because they know that their lives have not measured up to the righteous standards of the law. And so all they can think about is the punishment that is forthcoming.
Yeah.
But with Jesus Christ, he has stood in their place. He's tasted death for them so that they can face this experience with confidence, knowing that his blood has washed them clean, has washed them pure, so that they can stand in the very presence of God. It is the most wonderful truth.
Yeah.
And I've had the privilege of being able to communicate that truth to so many in hospitals. To be able to say, to read this very verse and to see the power of that verse do something in a person's life. Last week, I had the opportunity to spend a little time with my mom, and we were talking about this very thing, and I was just so glad to hear her say, you know, I'm not afraid of death.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of death. And the reason she's not afraid is because she knows Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And she knows that through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has broken the power of death. That's why this is such good news. That's why the story is all around the fact that Jesus is alive. That is the good news of the gospel. You may be out there petrified of death. You may be, you know, suffering from some sort of illness and wondering what it's going to be like. What, you know, have you done enough? Have your good works outweighed your bad works? Did you pray enough? Did you give enough? All those sort of things. All of those are questions that are being asked by the fear mm-hmm. that's there. Let's yeah. talk about it on today's broadcast, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, we do indeed have good news to share with our listeners. Again, that number, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. Come on in, friends. If you have a question, this is a good time because the lines are wide open. And, Bob, playing right into what you're talking about, a question from Scott. He says, you have described some of those who have not realized that they are forgiven and are living oppressed by sin. I can never live up to God's standard. Isn't there a verse somewhere that says your prayers will not be heard if you're not in good standing with God? I feel like I'm unable to pray for my friends and relatives sometimes. Most of the time, as a matter of fact. Thanks for your thoughts. That's from Scott.
Well, excellent question, and it gets down to the sin issue. That issue stood between God and man, that kept us separated from God, that kept us from experiencing new life in him. But Jesus Christ took care of that. Jesus Christ condemned sin in the flesh. He died in our place. He fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law on our behalf so that we could have confidence to stand before God, so that we could have confidence to speak frankly and plainly to him. As a matter of fact, that word confidence means to speak honestly to someone. And so the blood of Jesus Christ gives us the confidence to speak honestly to God and to pray for those concerns of our hearts, the concerns of others, the needs of others, to lay those at the Lord's feet. So to pray with confidence, I think we first have to know what Christ has accomplished for us, the fact that he died in our place. He took away our sins once and for all. That barrier has been removed. There's nothing that stands between God and man because of the finished work of Christ. Do we truly believe it? That is the question. And hopefully Scott will get the message that his sins have been forgiven once and for all, which frees him to speak frankly, openly, and honestly with his God, his Father.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher and I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. The lines are wide open. We want to hear from you. That's why we're here live every day to bring you this broadcast. So come on in, be a part of it, and we would welcome you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. And you know, here at Basic Gospel, we like social media, so we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, at Basic Gospel RDO. Bob, a question from Alex. Says, Alice, that is, says, I have been prescribed Prozac to deal with an eating disorder that I've struggled with for almost 3 years. I'm hesitant to take pills because I've heard Christians say that Prozac is a replacement for Jesus. What do you think about it? In your opinion, should I take the meds or continue to just struggle?
Excellent question. I will say this, Prozac is not the cure for her situation. Faith in Jesus has to be the ultimate cure. Prozac may be a temporary fix. It may help for a period of time, but it's not going to solve the problem. Usually those who are suffering from an eating disorder, it really gets down to a control issue. They feel like they're out of control. This particular eating disorder becomes a way that they can control one aspect of their lives. So to fix that, a pill can't do it.
Sure.
So we need to realize that we've never been in control anyway, that Jesus Christ is the one that is in control of our lives. And this life of faith is submitting ourselves to him, submitting our control over our lives into his hands and letting him control it. Mm-hmm. And once we've come to that point and we recognize that Jesus really does love us, that his heart is for our best interest, mm-hmm. then it's easy to relinquish control of our lives and submit to him.
Yes,
so
indeed.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
That is the real issue that this particular person, Allison, is facing.
Yeah.
And so we pray and trust that at some point in her life, she will come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ loves her best, mm-hmm. and she will let go of that control.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners, whether by phone or by email.
Well, thanks. Let's go and talk to Kathy, who's listening to us in New York on WMCA. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. I'm a little confused about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's confusing to me because poor in spirit to me means perhaps lacking in faith. So it seems as the kingdom of heaven is yours, even though you're poor in spirit. It seems like rewarding someone whose faith is lacking.
I would answer it this way, Kathy. It says in several places in the New Testament, God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. And I think that's what this particular passage is saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Basically, they've been humbled by life. And so when you come to that point and you realize that you have nothing to offer as far as God is concerned, there's nothing that you can bring to the table, that's when you're at a point to receive what he has provided for us in Christ Jesus. So I think it's talking more about humility. So when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those are the ones who have had the pride just knocked out of them.
Just relinquish their pride and ego and accept that God is their only source of help.
That's exactly right.
I love it. Okay. Thank you so much for clearing that up for me.
You're welcome, Kathy. Thanks for your call. Great question. We sure appreciate it.
If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call. We'll pay for the call if you just pick up the phone and give us a ring. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, we have a great offer. We want to mention that to our listeners this month. Basic Gospel is listener supported. We rely on friends all across this country who give on a consistent basis monthly or, you know, make a one-time gift mm-hmm. to keep this program on the air. And
sure.
We always want to say thank you to those who give. And so we provide resources as a way to say thanks. And we have a wonderful, wonderful resource this particular month. It's called Gateway to Grace. It is a 6-message series that includes a study guide that
yes.
is just chock full of scriptures. There's not a lot of commentary in this study guide. It's just one passage of scripture after another. If you want to know about the new covenant versus the old covenant, we have 30, 40 scriptures listed. If you want to know about your forgiveness in Christ, we have that many scriptures listed there. If you want to know what it means that Christ was raised from the dead and how that applies to your life today, we have so many scriptures just listed out.
Uh-huh.
If you want to know about your identity in Christ, what does God say about you? And when you understand what God says about you, you have been set free from what the world thinks about you. You don't have to worry about that anymore. And we have all sorts of passages listed out for you there. So this is an excellent resource for your personal growth in Christ Jesus. And we want to put that into your hands
yeah.
as a way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel.
Yeah.
We need your help. There's lots of folks out there that will say thank you because you've invested in their lives.
Yeah.
And we want them to say thank you because of that.
Absolutely. So for a gift of $30 or more during Independence Month to Basic Gospel, we'll send you this excellent resource. To order, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call 1-800-727-2828, our customer service line. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount, $30 or more.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Yorktown Heights, New York, and talk to Dominique. Hi, Dominique.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a question. In the Gospel of John, John 1, I know one of the verses says, "The Word was God." I know someone told me the Word is Jesus Christ. Does that mean he's also God? Because I know a certain group out there says that Jesus isn't God. He's only the Son of God, and I'm confused.
Well, John makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is God in that particular passage. I love how he starts out his gospel message. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then as you move down to verse 14, and it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God, and this Word became flesh, and we know him as Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. That is the great mystery of Jesus Christ. He is both fully God and fully human at the same time. There are religions, Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, who would say that Jesus is not God, that he's a little God. He's not of the same nature as God the Father. And they have rewritten that particular verse to fit their theology.
I didn't want to mention their names, but that's why I asked you that question, because they said that in their Bible that they have, they put that the Word was a God, lowercase, and I didn't know what to believe. I got confused.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I hope this clarifies it. Of course, this isn't the only verse in Scripture that talks about Jesus' deity. I mean, he claimed that he and the Father were one. The Jews picked up stones to stone him, and he asked why, and says, "Because you, a mere man, are claiming to be God." They heard what he was saying loud and clear. The apostles heard that message as well. Paul calls Jesus Christ God. He says all the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him bodily. He called them Lord and God. Philip said, my Lord and my God. So they heard the message. So Jesus Christ is God and was God in human flesh, and he was raised bodily, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And it's important for us to know that, because we've been called to trust him. And if he was just a mere man, I think it would be very difficult for us to trust, to put our full weight of trust in him. Well, why? Because a mere man isn't big enough to solve our problems. A mere man isn't big enough to take away our sins once and for all. God had to do all that. And that's
right.
Why we have to understand that Jesus Christ is God. And when
I understand.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I want to do, let me put you on hold. We have a great resource I want to send you. It's the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness. It's written by a friend of mine named Ron Rhodes. Let me put that in your hands. We would love for you to have it. I think it will be a great resource for you, okay?
Okay.
You hold
Thank
the line.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome, Dominique, and we will get that to you.
And Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to pick up a copy of the 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness, you can simply go online to basicgospel.net, click the store link, or simply go to store.basicgospel.net and look in the book section. You'll find it there. We hope you'll take advantage of
that. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. We started the program talking about our fear of death and the fact that Jesus Christ has broken that power, has freed us from the fear of death, not only by his death for us, but in his resurrection. We see that in his resurrection, he truly does have the power over death. And because he has the power over death, we can rest confidently knowing that he will overcome our death, our physical death as well.
Yeah.
And so we've been set free from that. If you would like to talk about that, call us 1-800-677-9377.
And Bob Carroll had a problem similar to that. She says, I don't know if it's wrong or not, but I've been baptized and given my life to God. But sometimes I hear this voice telling me that I haven't been saved, that I'm not good enough. Can someone please help me with this?
Boy, I think we all hear that. I remember a guy I met years ago. He was just one of the nicest men I'd ever met, just so kind. And I went to visit him in his later years. He was in a nursing home. And those were the exact questions he was asking. I just wish I had done more. And sometimes I feel like I didn't do enough, and I'm not sure that I'm truly saved. And why we ask those questions is because we start looking at our lives and the things that we've done or we haven't done, and it just doesn't measure up. It doesn't measure up to what we think it should have been. But that's the great news of the gospel. It's the life of Christ that measured up.
Right.
He measured up on all accounts for us. He lived a sinless life. He became the perfect Lamb of God, and he took our death for us, and then he was raised back to life. Our salvation is on his shoulders, not ours. We could never do enough. We could never be good enough. We could never pray enough. We could never do any of those things. That's why we have to be saved by grace through faith. And the question comes down to this: do we truly believe that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was sufficient enough for our salvation?
Right.
And when we do, then those fears are alleviated. And those questions that we ask, and we're always going to ask those things, did I do enough? But when we do, we ought to say, Lord, thank you through these questions that you've reminded me that it's not about me,
right,
that it's all about Jesus, and that my salvation rests on his shoulders. And I'm going to thank him for it. I'm going to thank him every single day. And you'll see those questions start being pushed out of your minds.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to Charles in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Charles.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just heard this guy, this brother, was asking the question of Jehovah's Witness. He was talking to a Jehovah's Witness, and then that's exactly what I would love to have.
Okay. Well,
because I know a few, not only a couple, but a few Jehovah Witnesses that talk to me all the time, and no matter what I tell them to prove them Jesus is Lord, they don't agree. I would love to have the book that
they are well versed and well equipped in their in their presentations. When they're knocking on the door, they're not looking for truth. They're not looking for answers. They are looking to try to convert you to their way of thinking. And so they know the key verses to look at. And sometimes we get caught up and we don't know how to respond. And I think this resource would be excellent for anybody out there. And we'll certainly... we'll certainly put you on hold and send that to you as just our gift to you.
Thank you
for calling in. But Charles, thank you for standing up for Jesus and proclaiming that He is both Lord and God.
Yes,
and keep doing so with passion. Leave the results of that in God's hands. You know, we try to engage in conversation. And most times those conversations don't end well. I'm sure that's been your experience. That's been my experience. But we never know when a seed's been planted. So we just have to we just have to trust the results of that into God's hands, okay?
Okay.
Well, let me put you on hold, Charles, and thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's good to hear from Charles. And again, that book is The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. And for our listeners just tuning in, Bob, you can get a copy of it by going to store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net in the book section.
Let's go to Mary Ann in Union City, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just have a short question. What is the Bema Sea seat?
The Bema Seat is a place of judgment for the believer, and it's a positive place. It's not a negative place. At the Bema Seat, our sins will not be judged. Our sins will not be mentioned. Those sins were judged at the cross. They were judged harshly. Jesus took the punishment for them. The Bema Seat, it was back in the day, it was symbolic of a place where athletes would go and receive their rewards for running a good race. We would know that from the Olympics today when they go and receive their medals, the gold medal, silver medal, or the bronze medal. So it's a positive place. And there, Mary Ann, we're going to see the works that were done through us for the cause of Christ. Anything else that we did, that's just going to burn up, and we're going to be glad that it did. But we'll get to see how Christ lived His life through us and how we were used to advance His kingdom. So it's a good thing, something that we should all look forward to, Mary Ann.
I haven't ever seen that word in the Bible, and I keep wondering what I decided to call. I keep wondering, is it a Greek word or?
It's a Greek word, and it's used in 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul mentions it to tell and encourage the listener or the people in Corinth to quit judging motives. You don't know how God is using different people. They're going to stand before God, and they're going to see that. So just go about your business of doing what the Lord has called you to do. Hope that helps, Mary Ann. Thanks for your call today.
It did. Thank you.
Friends, as we close the broadcast, I want to remind you that your support is what keeps Basic Gospel on the air. And to express our appreciation for your generous gift during Independence Month, we'll send you a copy of the new CD series, Gateway to Grace. It's 6 messages with a study guide, and it's very, very rich in biblical content. It'll help you shed the phony religious stuff and open the door so you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. For a gift of any amount over $30 this month at Basic Gospel, we'll send you this excellent resource. And to order, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for any gift of $30 or more. Now for Bob and Richard Piper and the staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.